We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support. והברית בר מצווה וחופה בקרוב כמו ציפור.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finney. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring an interview with Rabbi Honi Vogel, who is the Chabad of Delaware. He recently experienced a very serious arson at the Chabad house on the University of Delaware in Newark. And this is very serious stuff we'll be talking about. Is we have lots of music for the show. We have this week in the second half hour of the show, we'll talk about the Parsha Ki Savo, which can be found in Parsha 20, chapter 26 of the book of Deuteronomy. We have a great Hasidic story at the end. Stay tuned for that. Very poignant. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A 39-year-old Jewish man was stabbed to death at a bus stop in Rosh Ayin by a Palestinian terrorist. Police arrested the attacker. A stream of firebomb balloons was launched from Gaza into southern Israel. In return, Israel destroyed several underground Hamas tunnels and other Hamas structures. Construction workers on the Gaza-Israel wall came under fire from Hamas and were evacuated by the IDF. Hamas fired several rockets into the Mediterranean as a show of force against Israel's Navy. Israel closed its border crossings with Gaza because of the uptick in violence, while Egypt opened its border with Gaza for the first time since the beginning of the COVID outbreak. In other news, a 19-year-old border police was stabbed in the chest by a Palestinian at the Lion's Gate in Jerusalem. The officer shot and killed his attacker. The officer was taken to the hospital and remained in moderate condition. There were over 2,000 new cases of corona in Israel this week. 13 people died, bringing the death toll to 891 in Israel. Local stuff, U.S. District Judge Victoria Roberts dismissed the lawsuit brought on behalf of Congregation B'nai Israel in Ann Arbor to stop the 20-year-old anti-Israel protests on Shabbos morning in front of the synagogue. The judge ruled that peaceful protests are the heart of the First Amendment. Swastikas were spray-painted on the outside of an Orthodox synagogue in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Police are investigating it as a hate crime. The office of New York State Assemblywoman Rebecca Seawright, who isn't Jewish, was also spray-painted with anti-Semitic slogans. Seawright is married to a Jew. A bomb threat was called into a synagogue in Woodbridge, Virginia. No bomb was found. There were two mysterious fires at the Chabad house in Portland, Oregon. And, of course, the story that we'll be talking about later with Rabbi Vogel is this very serious arson at the Chabad house, the University of Delaware in Newark. And after years of fighting to operate their own ambulance, Ezra's Nashim, a medical group that caters to Orthodox women run by Orthodox women in Brooklyn, was granted a license to operate their own ambulances. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music, and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. 858-9000 or visit them on the web at spexhoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hello, Shulton, and you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online one very newsworthy story, Rabbi Honey Bobos, who is the chief rabbi of Delaware, the Chabad representative in Wilmington, and what made news, of course, is the very serious and disturbing arson in Newark, Delaware, at the university. How are you today, Rabbi Honey?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Glad that you were able to take the time.
It's been a week. Yes, things are very busy. It's unbelievable what has happened. It's unbelievable what is happening. But Hashem runs the world, and what we have seen is just something absolutely phenomenal. What started as just absolute horror and tragedy, the destruction of a Chabad house, a house of learning, a house of friendship, a home for thousands of Jewish kids going to lanes. It's just, you know, there are no words to describe it. Absolute total destruction. And we go from there into support that we just could not imagine possible. And how the whole Jewish world and is just rallying around and showing support in a tangible way is so encouraging. We will build bigger and better out of this. This is the Jewish way. This is what the Rebbe has encouraged us to do. That out of every challenge and every adversity, something far bigger and greater has to result, and that's what's going to happen over here.
Okay, let's go back up a bit. Tell us about what's Jewish life in Delaware like. Delaware is like a small state, and it's known for like DuPont, and probably not a whole lot more. Just I don't know about it. But so, what's Judaism like in Delaware generally?
Delaware, correct, is a small state, and the moniker of the state is the Diamond State. So small doesn't necessarily reflect on the totality of everything in life. Small can also mean precious, and that's what it is. And here, every Jew is a diamond, every Jew is precious, and that's what we at Chabad live and try to emanate and inspire. So Yiddishkeit over here. We're the only traditional presence, from community in the state. We have a Chabad center here in North Wilmington. We have Hebrew school, we have a team program, and we have a daily minyan and classes, et cetera, et cetera. The Jewish community, the numbers, vary a little bit, but I think in Delaware, they say there's about 12,000 Jews, primarily in the northern part of the state, which is centered around Wilmington. It has an old history. It's a Jewish community that goes back, well over 100 years. There was an Orthodox synagogue right in the beginning, but when we came to town, there was no Orthodox, there was no Shomer Shabbos presence, and Baruch Hashem, we've developed into a small community.
Baruch Hashem. Okay, so now how long? So you've been in town for about 37, 38 years, correct?
It might feel like that. No, we're only here 33 years.
33. Okay. How long ago did the Chabad house on the University of Delaware open up?
The truth is, we started it when we came to town 33 years ago. That was the first thing that we did, is that we started an operation, a program servicing the Jewish students. It was out of an apartment, in fact, out of Shmuel Weinstein's apartment for the first year, and then we rent our own apartment. And after 5 years of going backwards and forwards between Wilmington and the campus and, piling the kids in every Friday and with all the food and all the stuff and then just bunking out in the apartment and then making Shabbos for the students, we realized that we need a full-time presence on campus because it's a sizable Jewish community. And that's when we brought Rabbi Snyderman, and he became the shliach on campus, in fact, in 1992.
Oh, it's been there for quite a while.
So Chabad on campus has been there since 1987, since when we were there.
Uh-huh.
And then four years ago, my son took over at the university, and Baruch Hashem, he's taken it to heights that were you know, not possible really to to expect. He's phenomenal success. You know, they get 150 students every Shabbos in this small blue house, as it's affectionately known, the little blue house, the Chabad house. We squeezed every square foot out of it, knocked out walls, and 150 kids every Shabbos, shoulder to shoulder, pre-corona.
Mm-hmm. What's the relationship with the Chabad House and the university and the community at large in Newark?
It's a separate community because kids on campus really only identify with their peers. And understandably, you know, the families just will not connect at all with the whole student atmosphere. And therefore, it's separate. It's a separate presence.
Mm-hmm. And the relationship with, say, like your son, Rabbi Snyderman, with the university administration, do they ever have
very good.
You know, do invocations, these type of things, you know, recognize as an official organization on campus.
Correct. They're recognized as an official organization on campus. And, you know, we have a history over there. And they've been, you know, supportive, you know, to the extent that they can be. You know, they officially can't get involved in student life. But, you know, they are always, you know, respectful, recognize our needs. You know, whenever we have issues, we have who to talk to.
Okay, cool. So now tell us, since March, how has Chabad on campus been operating?
Obviously, in a limited way. You know, there have been some students, you know, who stayed around the campus area, so... No, there has been some relationship with some of the students over there, obviously, you know, in a corona fashion. So it's a problem that all Chabad houses have. And you know, the plan was before the fire, and obviously it's going to continue, but it's somewhat modified. We have purchased huge tents to be able to have the Shabbos dinners outside, you know, with social distancing, but having it outside, that was the plan. And, you know, now that the center is no longer and the kitchen is no longer, obviously, we got our work cut out how to make things work going forward.
But okay. I
have no doubt that they will.
So our guest today, in case you're just joining us, is Rabbi Chaim Vogel, who is the Chabad Shliach, the emissary, the rabbi of Wilmington, Delaware, the Hetzliach of Delaware. And the entire tier, we're talking about the arson that happened last week at the University of Delaware Chabad House in Newark. It's really hard for me to say, actually, Newark, believe it or not, because I was raised in Newark, New Jersey. So I have to, like, really focus on saying Newark, New Jersey, Newark, Delaware. But anyway, so tell us about the fateful night. What was happening? Where were people? What were you doing? When did you find out? What was the immediate reaction by you and the other members of the Chabad community in Delaware?
Well, it happened in the middle of the night. My son got a call. My son, who lives right next to the Chabad house, got a call that, are you okay? So he says, yeah. And then the call says, oh, you know, because there's a fire in the Chabad house. And he obviously jumps out of bed, and he sees the fire trucks over there. And he calls me. He called me in the middle of the night and tells me what's going on. Didn't realize to the extent of the damage. Only the next morning do we come in, and it was an absolute disaster. It was the most gut-wrenching, emotional experience that I don't wish on anybody. No one should have to go through this. You know, a house which is the home for thousands of Jewish kids, which has served and touched the lives of countless Jewish students, is no longer. It's just beyond words, and you know, emotionally, it's just devastating. So for the whole day Wednesday, I was totally shot. And the students, on their own initiative, because the Chabad house means so much to them, said that, you know, they wanted to start a campaign just to raise a few thousand dollars, knowing that we're gonna have to fix this place up. Little did they know that it's not possible to fix up. But at that time, they thought, okay, so we're going to raise a few. They started a GoFundMe. And I'm very happy to tell you that the GoFundMe has just, like, exploded. And Baruch Hashem, it's getting support, you know, from all over. People are really, you know, have really been touched by what this house means to so many kids, and how it has to be rebuilt bigger and better.
Interesting. So you're saying the house was actually decimated, and it's basically a knockdown and clear out? Is that, yeah, you can't fix that?
Totally. Wow. Initially they thought, oh, it's damaged, but you know, it's not salvageable at all. And you know, to try to replace an inadequate facility is just pointless. It was already inadequate a few years ago. Inadequate because, thank God to the success, you know, taking Shabbos dinners from 40 to 60 to 80 to 100 to 150, you're maxed out already before the 150, and you're shoulder to shoulder. You know, it's just, there's no point in replacing something which was not working. So we're going to be building bigger, better, something which is going to truly accommodate the needs and provide a home for 2,000 Jewish kids. And it's going to be something out of the ashes and out of the destruction and out of the pain and out of this challenge. We're going to rise because this is the Jewish way. And I encourage any person who wants to take part of this phenomenal story, you know, to go to the GoFundMe page. It's the second charity right on the page. You can't miss it. GoFundMe and lend support. Be part of this miracle. Be part of this outpouring of love and support and Am Yisrael Chai. That's why I say, you know, this last week I've gone down from the depths of pain, and now, you know, seeing thousands of people from all walks of life, from all over, now standing with us, not just standing, you know, motionless, but standing and actually lending a hand. Mika, I'm for you, sir.
Our guest today again is Rabbi Honu Vogel, who is the Chabad Shliach in Delaware, and we're talking about the arson at the Chabad house on University of Delaware campus in Newark, Delaware. So was there security cameras? Do they have any kind of leads who might have perpetrated this? Is anybody, any aid group taking responsibility for it, Rabbi Vogel?
No, there's no hate group. There are no telltale signs of a hate crime. You know, yes, when you see a Jewish building going up in flames, you know, automatically, instinctively, emotionally, you know, there's a certain reaction. And, you know, people will say, hey, this is what it is. You can't. The fire marshal said, yes, it's arson. That they can say. But they can't say who, what, because there really is no true evidence. Now, people can make assumptions, but no one can say.
Okay. Now, so what are your vision?
We have not experienced, I have to say this, we have not experienced any anti-Semitism up until now. So it's not that there's been, you know, a background of hate and hate speech and then hate actions and then this results with, you know, with a fire. We had none of that.
Well, that's at least as good to hear. So now let's talk a little theory, maybe a little fantasy. So the Chabad House on the University of Delaware was referred to as the Little Blue House. What are you envisioning now will take its place? And here's a key question for you. Will the facade be blue so you can still call it the Little Blue House?
That is to be determined. As you can imagine, the last 2 days have been, you know, a roller coaster. So, you know, decisions of that nature, we don't know. But one thing we do know, that it's going to be bigger. We're going to maximize the building envelope. It's going to be a multi-story. It's not going to be a replica of an old building from, you know, 100 years old, which the house was. It's going to be a commercially built, purpose-built, beautiful structure, spacious. We're going to triple the space that we had, more than triple the space that we had, because we need it. So it's something that we're looking forward to. Yes, it's a road ahead, but the result is going to be phenomenal.
Okay, we want to wish you a tremendous success. You know, the expression that says in the Talmud, "Acher Sreifa Bracha," after a fire comes blessing, and we see that you're starting to see that, and which you go from strength to strength, and the activities that are so vital in the state of Delaware, and hope you keep us apprised of what happens over there.
I encourage everybody to be a part of this beautiful unfolding story, to be a part of this transformation of tragedy into something beautiful. Go to the
wonderful.
Family,
wish you
be part of it.
Okay, we wish you
thank
a happy
you
and a healthy New Year. Take care. We're going to take
you.
A quick commercial break. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Commercial film in here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Again, go to the GoFundMe page at University of Delaware Chabad. It's on GoFundMe.com, and it's right there, and you can participate in this wonderful cause. We got some music coming up for you. This is Ellie Herzlitt, and this is Rock. Let's see. Just please, God, just give me a little bit.
בצידי דרכים, בבגדים פשוטים, יושב ומצפה לרחמים של יהודים. עם קופסה קטנה מפח, מצלצל במטבעות. מבקש טובה, עוד מצווה קטנה, לחתן קלה או למשפחה גדולה. איך פרוטה ועוד פרוטה מצילה לנו חיים. צדקת עצי ממה שלא יבוא, שלא יבוא, שרק יהיה טוב ותמיד. רק לתת, לתת מכל הלב, מכל הלב, עם חיוך גדול מאיר את השני. רק לתת, ואז אתה אוהב, אוהב את עצמך, אוהב את החיים. רק לתת.
גדול איך שקו אחד דקום מיישר את הכל לשמח יהודי זה מרומם את החיים עוד מצוות ועוד מצוות לאסוף זכויות יש עניין כזה לשמח את הבריאות זה עושה כאן נחתנוע לכל היהודים התגדת הציל ממה שלא יבוא שלא יבוא שרק יהיה טוב ותמיד רק לתת מכל הלב
מכל הלב
עם חיוך גדול מאיר את השני רק לתת ואז אתה
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finninger, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, for your listening pleasure, we've got Ein Od Milvado. There's none other by your sim, and this one's just a whole collaboration of people all together. Let's listen.
Oh,
לבדו.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats, their gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
You're listening to the Jewish Hour. One Stop is now called The Grove, and they've totally, completely remodeled the place. It's a beautiful place to shop now. And, of course, they have all the necessary restrictions and guards in place to make sure that you're shopping in a safe and clean environment without compromising any of the things they would have wanted to buy at One Stop. So go give them a look, see what the new place looks like. So we have time for one more song. This is brand new person, the first record he's ever cut. His name is Uzi Bodner, and I like the guy. He's got a real good voice. The song is called Kiata Imanti, which means that you were with me. So you be the judge. Let me know. Give me a drop line. Drop me a line at rabbisinthe.com. Let me know what you think.
I was afraid. There never was a time I felt alone. Through the darkest of nights and the coldest of days, I thank you, the one above. I'm on this journey to find my way. The future seems uncertain and unknown. One thing is constant, I know that you'll be there. I thank you, Hashem Echad. Cause I believe in you, my Father, the King of the world. And no matter what, I know that you are with me. Open my eyes, I recognize that I am not by myself. It's true, the act of immortality. That I'll never even know. I thank you, Hashem Echad.
Hashem Echad.
Cause I believe in you, my Father, the King of the world. And no matter what, I know that you are with me. Open my eyes, I recognize that I am not by myself. It's true, Ki Ata Imati.
Yes, I know the world may seem so out of control. Yeah, I see, it's always good for me. And I pray, yeah, I pray that there's never a day when I feel so far away, far away from you.
Cause I believe in you, my Father, the King of the world.
The
I believe in you, my father, the king of the world. And no matter what, I know that you are with me. Open my eyes, I recognize that I am not by myself. It's true, Yaka Imadi. It's true, yeah, it's true, Yaka Imadi.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Fulfillment, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Kisavo. It can be found in chapter 26 of the book of Deuteronomy. Usually when I think Kisavo, so I think of two things. I'm not going to talk about either one of them today, which is really cute. But the first thing I think of is, we're 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah. And generally speaking, when we're talking Kisavo, we're talking about Slichlis, which are the prayers which are said the week or so before Rosh Hashanah. And we get up earlier. The first one's actually done at around midnight. So that's one thing I think about, which I'm not going to talk about. The other one is in the vast majority of the portion. It's 130, 140 verses long, 90 or so, 98 of them. The verses involve the curses. And we've talked about the curses in the last 25 years enough times, so we're not going to talk about curses. Instead, we're going to focus on the name of the portion. The name of the portion is decided in the first verse of the portion, and it's not by no accident that the Almighty put that first verse there at the beginning of the portion to give the portion its name. So the portion is Kisavo, when you'll come into the land that God, your Lord, gives you. So there's actually a discussion in the Talmud as to at what point does somebody enter an area. Okay? So if to be guilty of trespass, for example. So there's different discussions. If I put my hand into your house without your permission, have I trespassed? If I come in with, say, like most of my body, which most of my body means my head, at least down to below my waist, am I trespassing? Or do I require that I have to go in your house in total? And so after a very decent discussion, the Talmud concludes that entering is with a whole body. Similarly, also, the Jews were told that the things that they're going to have to do in this week's portion are when you come into the land. At what point were the Jews to consider to have come into the land? First of all, it took time. The first person that crossed the sea, the Jordan River, to the last person that crossed the Jordan River, and anybody in between. And the answer is that what Moses was talking about wasn't even when all the Jews were inside Israel. And after the Jordan had gone back to its normal flowing state and all the Jews were on the west bank of the Jordan, it's talking about after the land was conquered and divided up among the people, and people were settled, and that they were there. Okay, so that's what it's talking about. So now, what do we see from this concept? It's a very nice concept. Thank you very much. We say, for example, look at a person's own soul in the relationship to their body. A person's alive. A person is alive. Their soul is entirely filling their body. Okay, as much as supposed to go in there, as I've talked about many times, that actually the majority of the salt is not enclosed in your body, where that's where the example breaks down. But your body is totally and completely filled by your soul. And that, now you're fully alive. So when it comes time now for a person to dedicate themselves to doing something, I've often maintained that the relationship that we have with the Almighty is a relationship that we want and we create with the Almighty. You want to have a casual relationship? Fine. What are you going to have? You're going to have a casual relationship. You want to have an intense relationship? You have an intense relationship. It's totally completely up to what you want. God's good. Whatever you decide, just as long as you have a relationship, that's fine. When it comes to doing something, though, how should a person do it? They should do it with their whole being. That's what it says, Kisavo El Haaretz, when you'll come to the land, that you should put everything that you have into your service to God, which is one of the reasons why this portion of Kisavo is always read during the month of Elul. Far away from Rosh Hashanah, that we can still be thinking about not Rosh Hashanah, even though I mentioned the first thing I said when I started this little speech was, oh, Rosh Hashanah is 2 weeks away. It's right in the middle of the month. Elul is a time we have to come before the Almighty and say, we mean business. We talked about this before. We have to show that we really want to have a good year this year. And the Almighty wants to say, okay, show me. So you have to show where it is that you're going to be in making your improvements this year. And you can't say, a person can't say, listen, I did well enough last year. I'm leaving it at that. No. Because if a person said, I did well enough last year, and that's what I'm doing this year, what do we need you around here for this year? You always have to be improving. You always have to be doing better. And generally speaking, as the world looks at it, if you're not improving, you're going backwards. If you're not keeping up with the modernity, you're becoming antiquated. So in Judaism, if you're not improving, you're falling apart. So we have to show the Almighty, these are where the improvements are going to be. And then in all the different aspects of how we relate to God and how we learn and how we pray and how we resolve, make good resolutions for the future, the giving of charity. And the ultimate should be that we should really tell the Almighty, listen, it's enough. We've been sheltering in place pretty much since March. This is a plague. This is not the first time there have been plagues. The world is basically, it looks like it's turning off of its access. The Almighty said, listen, when things are ready, Mashiach is going to come in the blink of an eye. But at this point, Lubavitch Rebbe said a long time ago, why is that blink of an eye not happening? It's because people aren't demanding it. So during this Elul, one of the things that we should focus on is, listen, God, bring Mashiach. We need it now. Speaking of needing it now, we need to take a quick commercial break, but don't go away. We're closing with a wonderful Hasidic story. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Sultan, I heard you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go take a look at my website. If you haven't looked yet, then you're missing something, really. We put a lot of effort into that website, and there's all kinds of really good things over there, if I do say so myself. But the easiest thing to do is, first of all, if you do have a question, comment, criticism, query, et cetera, whatever else it might be, you want to get in touch with me, right on my homepage, rabbifinman.com, is the contact us link, and you'll send me an email. I'll send you back one. Answer your questions. You got things coming up for Rosh Hashanah. Also, you have the very important, you have the archive editions of the radio show, the classes. You have all kinds of good things over there, ways in which we present Judaism in an interesting and entertaining way. And there's also the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour costs money. And it's always been, for 25 years, from month to month to month to month, there have been times when we've been months behind. And Salem Communications, thank God, has been very patient with us and has let us pay things out as we got the funds. But we're still doing it. And it's only because of people like yourself that are doing it. So there's the donations page. And you can donate a single donation, one step. And then do that. Please do that before Rosh Hashanah. So the Almighty, you're increasing in your charity. You're up on your tithing, your 10% after taxes. You have to give away. And so there's all kinds of good things to give. This is a Jewish Hour. You've already listened into this program already for 45 minutes. So, yeah, and you've enjoyed it. You can do monthly giving also. You can't do one big thing. So, listen, I appreciate all the fives and tens that come in every month. And we have those, too. And we appreciate it, so do that. Okay, things that are happening at Jewish Ferndale, which is under the same organizational as the Jewish Hour. So you'll go to Herschel Finman's Facebook page, and you'll see all the various different ways in which we've been presenting our programs in virtual reality. They're publicized, of course, on the website, www.jewishferndale.com, and on the Jewish Ferndale Facebook page. All events are viewable on Herschel Finman's Facebook page simply because it's just an easier platform to work with. So that's what we have there. So coming up this week, we have art lessons on Sunday with Hannah Finman. They're really phenomenal. Hannah Finman is a master artist, art historian. She knows so much about art, and she'll turn you into an artist too. And Tuesday nights are book reviews. That's at 7 o'clock. The art lessons at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Book reviews are 7 o'clock. They're a half hour featuring books from the Rothschild Memorial Lending Library at Jewish Ferndale. Tuesday night or Monday nights, we have Tanya class, and those are also available on Zoom if you want to appreciate those things. It's all good. It's all for you, because that's what we're here for. We're here just for you. We got a Hasidic story. Okay, this one I heard from someone who heard it from the protagonist, who only identified the protagonist. His name is Rabbi Yossi, who lives somewhere. He lives somewhere in central Israel. Now, so he is a Chabad representative in this small city in Chabad in central Israel someplace. And it is a Chabad custom for people to check the mezuzahs and the tefillin every Elul before Rosh Hashanah. A mezuzah is, and tefillin are mentioned in the earlier parts of the book of Deuteronomy, that you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and frontispieces on your between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doors in their gates. And there are, you know, these are religious objects, and they have to be kosher. If there's anything wrong with them, any defect, they don't work, because each item fills the needs or fulfills the will of the Almighty, in which the Almighty wants to relate to us, to have this relation that we've been talking about. So they have to be absolutely perfect without flaw. And so generally you're supposed to check them. The rule says twice in 7 years, every 3.5 years or so. But Lubavitch is meticulous, Chabad is meticulous, to check them yearly before Rosh Hashanah to show this is one of the things we're doing for the Almighty. This is what we do to mean business, that we want a good year this year. So this shows if he did it, and he did it every year, and they were fine. As what to be expected by a mezuzah. I spend a little more money, you get a better quality mezuzah. And I always encourage people that if you're going to do a mitzvah, spend a little more money for it, and don't worry about it, because it says the money that you spend on your mitzvahs, on your commandments, the Almighty pays for it anyway. He'll pay you back. Don't worry about it. He hasn't paid you up front already. So yeah, there was everything was fine. Before Rosh Hashanah, he suddenly developed a slight pain in his foot. You know what's happening. And then after Rosh Hashanah, it was excruciating. He could hardly walk. He went to a doctor, and the doctor said that you've got a serious infection in your foot. Why didn't you just put him on antibiotics right then? I don't know, but you can't ask a question on a story is what it says. So he had written to the rabbi in his before Rosh Hashanah report how the happenings and what they were planning on doing, and how he had indeed checked his one and his mezuzah, and they were fine. By Yom Kippur, he couldn't even stand up. He was like hobbled to the synagogue, which probably lives right next door, and he had to sit the whole time. He had his foot raised, and at that point, after Yom Kippur, they didn't know what to do. The doctor said, "This is serious. We're going to have to amputate if it gets worse." But at that point, he said that he was very leery about writing to the Rebbe. He didn't want to bother the Rebbe. If he could write the Rebbe good news, he wanted a piece of advice. What do I do? He wrote, and the Rebbe wrote back, "Check your tefillin and mezuzahs." So it was very shocking, because he had just done it a month ago. But he realized in his apartment building, there was an apartment which had been vacated by the tenant, and the tenant told him that he could use the apartment until he finds somebody to take it over as for Chabad operations over there. And so he could set up an office over there. So the tenant, they made an agreement, when you move out, you know what you was living in, you're supposed to leave the mezuzah. But he said, "Don't worry, I'll put my own mezuzahs up." Okay, so he bought, because he didn't know how long he was going to be there, so he didn't go primo. He bought, less than primo mezuzahs and put them up. And he had them checked. Those he checked. And he found that there was one mezuzah on the back porch that went to the marpeset, as it's called. It's more like a balcony than a porch. And that one had a problem. They had to replace it. On the way home from picking up the mezuzah, that's what her name was. She's going to get a name in the story. Was stopped into a pharmacy and noticed that there was this new type of a salve that came out that was listed for helping such and such a problem. So they gave it a try. So she put it on her husband's foot, and lo and behold, the next day the infection was gone. So Tony, if you want to bring up the music behind me, that is going to do it for us this week. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.